All right. Kenzie, are you very sleepy? Would you rather sit here so you can stand up? Are you all right?
I'm fine.
The
Daddy, here?
Couple of prophecies, Izzy and Aaron's prophecies about following, looking for the answers. It reminded me, Don and I will watch this treasure hunter show. And it's kind of funny. The only reason I watch it is because he never finds any treasure. But he goes all over the world and he tells you history and it's really scenic. You know, it has cool photography with it. But there's this game that a guy put together in the 80s. And he did, I think there was 12 of them. And it was a poster and it was based off of a book, and each book was based off of a treasure. And it had a poster with it, and the poster had all the clues, had everything contained in it, and then it had a riddle that was underneath it. And so by deciphering it, what was in the picture and what was in the riddle, you'd be able to find it. And people have spent their whole lives, they've only found 3 so far. The guy died like 8 years ago. So the things are still hidden out there. Well, we're sitting there watching the show, and these people have committed, I mean literally, years upon searching this out and searching this out and deciphering within the map and everything else. And I always thought to myself, that's Yahweh's word. That's Yahweh's word, but it's much, much easier than some of the stuff they're doing for those people who have the desire for it. Well, the one show we watched, they actually did find one. They actually did find it. The guy brought him to it and says, I know where it is and we're going to go dig it up. They had everything else there. It was a construction site, but, you know, it was the third one. But it always reminded me, you know, watching that show going, these people are spending everything, all their waking times. They're studying it. They're looking at it. And I'm like going, you know, to get a little prize, you know, they get on earth. And when I was listening to your prophecies, it reminded me of that, you know, how easy it is for us if we have the desire to search out the scriptures and we'll find all those things. There's tons of those in there. Okay. Well, we'll go ahead and get started here, guys. A little sharing here tonight. We have no government armed with power capable of contending with human passions unbridled by morality and religion. Our Constitution was made only for moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. And I think about that, boy, I'll tell you, that hits home, because as we stray farther and farther from morality, okay, which is the attack on the family. You see that. It's an attack against Christ. It's an attack against freedom. It's just a flat-out attack. So we're gonna do a study here, and we're going to do an entire book of the Bible.
Yeah.
Who wants to guess which one?
Jude.
Psalms?
Philemon.
Okay. So as I was pondering and going over this, it kind of came to me that, and I've heard this from clients as well, you know, they have medications that are very, very expensive. And I have yet to taste a medication that tasted good. It's not pleasing to the taste, okay? And so it's very expensive. And so it's kind of the thing that takes place behind the scenes. You're taking the medicine, it goes into your body, and it's doing something. But you don't see it. You don't see it. Now, if it doesn't work, it may manifest showing that something else is going on inside there, but it's one of those things that it's a hidden thing. And so people sometimes will be like, well, I don't think I get any good out of this. And so I'll stop taking it, and then bad things start to happen. And I always think about that when we're, you know, looking at it in the Word as well. Obedience to Yahweh, okay, may not be the thing that's the most pleasing to do. But yet, going away from that, it will start manifesting negative things. And so for us to look at this, I had somebody this last week who was complaining about the price of a medication. And I'm like, well, you can take a generic. Well, it doesn't work as good. And I'm like going, okay, so what's your price on it? I mean, I don't know what to tell you. But it does work for you. And what it does is it keeps things functioning and in order. Okay, the same way that obedience to Yahweh does. Okay, and so if you come off of that, you come off of that for a little while, and I'm just going to quit doing it. I don't see any good coming out of it. You'll see what will take place. It will happen. You'll be able to experience it. We're going to do the book of Haggai. Yay! Okay. So we're going to do a little bit of searching through it to start with. Haggai means festive. Okay, and if you're looking for it, it's going to be on page 899. Okay, And a couple things. Most of this teaching is extracted from commentary that I've pulled off of the program and Bullinger's appendix that I used a lot of his notes for as well. Because I've been reading a lot of it, going through, and this was one that kind of, you know, stuck out, like going, it's neat, there's characters in here that are wonderful. And so between Zephaniah and Haggai lay the 70 years captivity in Babylon. Okay, Babylon. Haggai was the first prophet by whom Yahweh spake after the return. Okay? So after the people of the exiles had returned, he was the first prophet that spake. Yahweh spake after the return. Okay? His prophecy is dated in the first year of Darius. How do you say that, Chuck?
Darius, I think.
No,
Hystaspas. Hystaspas. I don't know how you pronounce that.
I'm not sure what you're
looking for.
Go ahead.
Okay, anyway, 16 years after the decree of Cyrus, and therefore in the year of about 1410, there's a lot of discrepancies. I mean, some of them are even 100 years different, so I really don't know the year. This is from Bullinger, from his notes. And from the 6th to the 9th month, covering a period of about 4 months. Nobody try to do the math on that. 6, 7, 8, 9. Okay. So, Haggai. There's, in the book of Haggai, which is 2 chapters, there's 4 distinct messages that were delivered, okay? This is just the time period for them. On the first day of the 6th month, on the 21st day of the 7th month, and what's really neat is Bullinger puts all this together. He just puts it, lays it all out by timelines and everything else. I'm like going, Kelly, what a labor of love. I would look at that and be like going, does it really matter what day it was on or what? But to him it does. And as you start putting things together, I think that there's going to be a point, you know, maybe in paradise, where everything is revealed and it's going to be like a light turns on and everything snaps together. And you're like, holy cow, that's incredible. You know, like, you heard about the multi-level of chess? This is going to be just incredible how everything plays together. And we're like going, well, I saw no significance of when that came out, but there absolutely was. Absolutely was when Yahweh spake. Okay. The 3rd, on the 24th of the 9th month, and on the same day was the last one. Okay. It was on the same day as the 3rd. Zechariah's prophecy began midway between Haggai's 2nd and 3rd messages. So as you see where they overlap, I have a chart at the end I'll kind of show you because I'm a visual person. I like to be able to see it. But that where they kind of overlap, the two of them start to overlap. Haggai, there is no birth record for him. So he was probably born in Babylon during the captivity because there's no record of his parents, okay, his lineages. He was sent particularly to encourage the Jews to proceed with the building of the temple, which had been interrupted for about 14 to 16 years. Most accounts call for 16. I really am not, I don't know, between 14 and 16 years. Cyrus, who had published an edict empowering the Jews to return to Jerusalem and rebuild their city and temple, revoked this edict in the 2nd year of his reign through the evil advice and courtiers of the enemies of the Jews. Okay, so what was given was taken back, and it was because of wicked influences that were trying to stop this and prevent this. After his death, Cambyses renewed the prohibition, but after the death of Cambyses, Darius, the son of whoever, renewed the permission, okay, to go back and start doing it again. Okay, so what we're seeing here is you're going to have a group of people who had exiled out, who are still alive, who are coming back. They knew what it looked like before they left. And then there's going to be a whole bunch of people who are brand new who had no idea. Only from the stories of what things were told are they going to understand what was going on. But it's been years, okay? It's been years. And now they're back, and they've been back for years, okay, from exile. Haggai was sent to encourage his countrymen to proceed with the work. That's his message. That's what he's going to be speaking here. Okay, the problem is, when they send exiles back, they also send a bunch of foreigners back as well. And these are like the snares, the thorns, you know, the thistles amongst them who were causing them tons of problems. I mean, people literally hired to try to go and infiltrate and screw up the project and to make the temple building messed up. Okay? Sabotage and edicts to hinder and cease the construction. The Israelites were operating in their own land, but they were not under their own authority, okay? So they gave a governorship, And that governor is over the Israelites, but they are not in control of their own land. Okay, they're not in control. So everything is still being monitored. That's why they could have an edict to stop them from doing it, even though they were already in their own country. Okay, so they're, it's kind of like a pseudo-government, a government within a government, but they obviously are being controlled by the Assyrians and Persians. Those that can give up essential liberty to gain a little temporary safety deserve neither liberty nor safety. And I've always loved that. And this is where we kind of look at it for our country. There's so many similarities as you go through here and history, how it repeats. And the adversary has an old bag of tricks that works. And we'll continue using them over and over and over again. And so we see it over and over again. Well, that's good for us, because if we know some of the tricks that the adversary is going to use, we can be wary. If you go out on the football field and you know what their offensive play is going to be and where the ball's going, it's really easy to be defensive against that. Okay? And so that's where we should be able to know some of the things. Here's some of the things that the adversary know ourselves, what we're able to be, you know, piled up upon. Commitment. Do what needs to be done, whenever it needs to be done, for whomever it needs to be done, for as long as it needs to be done. Okay? So, we're going to start off in Haggai, and we're going to kind of chop this up into a couple of groupings. If somebody would read for me, go ahead. Would you please? 1-4.
In the second year of Darius, the king, in the sixth month, on the first day of the month, came the word of Yahweh by the hand of Haggai, the prophet, to do
Zerubbabel,
son of Shephatiah, Pasha of Judah, to Jehoshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, saying, thus speaketh Yahweh of hosts, saying, this people have said, not yet have come the time for the house of Yahweh to be built. Therefore hath come the word of Yahweh by the hand of Haggai the prophet, saying, is it a time that ye yourself should be dwelling in your own paneled houses, and this house being ruined?
That's it. And it's kind of funny, because sometimes my sarcasm gets a hold of me, and I could almost see it being read like, oh, is it time that ye yourselves? You know, almost where it's thrown back on there. You know, you guys made yourselves really nice houses. Well, it's not time. Oh, okay, I got you. And I kind of think to myself, you know, I don't know if that is how it happened, but I think to myself, hey, this has been going on a long time. What's going on? Yahweh does not have a house, okay? Does Yahweh need a house?
No.
Absolutely not. Okay, for him to come and partake with us is all for our benefit, 100% for our benefit. His benefit as well, because for people who are obedient and serving him, it's going to bring great joy to him. But it's not for him, it's for us. It's for us to have that. And so we have to always think about that, that, hey, to keep this relationship, his house is not built. Okay, so let's start here. We're going to look at a few of them. Here are the main characters. This is a big character right here, okay? Zerubbabel, okay, sown in Babylon is what that means. Obviously, it tells where he was born. The grandson of King Jehoiachin and the leader of the first group of returning exiles from Babylon. Now, you see in here where it says that the Pasha, basically, unto Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, whatever, Pasha of Judah. He's the governor of Judah. This guy is in charge of Judah for the Israelis, okay, for the Jews. Notice here, there's two times, and this is a catch by Bollinger, where he says two times they talk about the time, and they do this specifically for emphasis. So in verse 2 and verse 4, the time is mentioned, how long, okay, what's been going on. So this is something to pay attention to. Okay, I'll read 5 through 11. Now therefore, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, apply your hearts unto your own experience. Ye have sown much, but have brought in little. Ye have eaten and not been filled. Ye have drunk and not been satisfied with drink. Ye have clothed and not been warm. Ye have hired himself out, have put his wages in a bag with holes. And I think to myself, yeah, you know, in times of my life where I was away from the word, boy, that fits perfect. Yep, that sums it all up about right. Okay, making money, where did it go? You know, and that's exactly right. And so you're seeing this. Well, what's happening? He's explaining to them. Here's what's going on. All right, verse 7. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, apply your heart. Two times. Apply your heart to your own experience. Ascend the mountain and bring wood and build the house, that ye may be pleased therein and get myself glory, saith Yahweh. When ye looked for much, then lo, it came to little. When ye brought it home, then did it then I did blow into it. Because of what? Demandeth Yahweh of hosts. Because of my house, the which is in ruins, while you keep running every man to his own house. Wherefore, on your account, have the heavens held back dew, and the earth held back fruit, and I have called for drought upon the land, upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon man, and upon beast, and upon all the labor of the lands. And this is the definition of global warming right there. Okay? Mm-hmm. Here's what we have. We have disobedient people, and it's being held back. Now, these are Yahweh's chosen. These are his people. Okay? They're exiled, and now they're free. They're back. And yet, they are not in a paradise. They are not. They're far from it. They're still having issues here. Okay? So, a couple things. You're going to see this. This is something that's kind of interesting. In other translations, I think it says, does anybody have another translation that they're reading from? I think it says concern.
I do.
What is it? What does it say?
Where are you at?
On, go to,
verse 5.
Yeah, 5.
Follow your heart.
Your fathers, where are they? And your prophets, the times they find your
lips. Yeah, 5.
5, yeah. Apply your heart or concern.
Apply your heart.
Where?
No, you're in Zechariah.
Okay, so it's just the other ones will show a different word for it. It's like concerned, be concerned of, or something along those lines. In here, it tells you to apply your heart. And so apply your heart occurs 5 times in 2 chapters. Okay, so it's a big emphasis. And so as you're watching these things, knowing, hey, here's the plan. We're going to focus on this. If a teacher is teaching you right before a test, hey, let's do a last-minute study, and let's go over some things. And I remember some of the teachers. They're like going, look, you dumb bats. Okay, I'm tired of failing y'all. So here, we're going to go over it. So here's a thought. And they do that, and you'd be like, well, okay, pay attention, because this is on the test, okay? And so as we're doing this, it's a great way also to, hey, as we're seeing this, same thing as the football field. You know what the play's going to be. You hear the call. You know what it was last time. You're aware. You're watching for it. And this is something we can do as well. So as you're studying, you can see, okay, there's emphasis upon this. Apply your heart 5 times in 2 chapters. Okay, and what it is sum or seem, I don't know how that would be pronounced. I think it's more close to the sum. It's to put, to set, to make appointment, turn, to establish, to build up. Okay, and basically the way I gather this is it's to be making yourself a covenant to yourself. Okay, to be doing these things, to be establishing yourself, to be setting, to be putting. And it's a mental attitude. So if I go out to run a marathon right now, I'm going to get about a quarter of a mile. Because my mind is not there, and it's going to tell me every step, what are you doing? You're trying to kill yourself? But if you have your mindset right, and you're going out to do things, you're going to have a completely different approach. If I go out, here's what I've got to do, here's what's going to take place, and I'm going right after it. And now you're geared, you're moved into it. And so that's what we're looking at. Apply your heart to set to make appointment. Let's do Haggai 12 through 15 now. Somebody to read that for me.
Yeah, 12 through 15 of chapter 1. Hearken, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and all the remnant of the people, unto the voice of Yahweh their God, and unto the words of Haggai the prophet, as Yahweh their God of Elohim had sent him, and the people stood in awe before Yahweh. Then spake Haggai, the messenger of Yahweh, in the message of Yahweh to the people, saying, I am with you, declareth Yahweh. Then did Yahweh stir up the spirit of Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Pasha of Judah, and the spirit of Jehoshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and the spirit of all the remnant of the people, and they came in and did service in the house of Yahweh of hosts, their God, their Elohim, on the 24th day of the month, in the 6th month, in the 2nd year of Darius the king.
Okay, very good. Okay, so we're going to jump right into chapter 2. 7 weeks later, the prophet is sent with a second message and encourages the builders with assurance of the present spirit, a future influx of nations, and of a grant of prosperity. Okay, which is great. Boy, who doesn't like to hear that? Hey, got a word of prosperity here for you. Like going, oh, welcome, bring it. Okay, so I'll read this here, 1 through 5 of chapter 2. In the seventh month, on the 21st of the month, came the word of Yahweh by the hand of Haggai the prophet, saying, speak, I pray thee, unto Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, Pasha of Judah, and of Yehoshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and unto the remnant of the people, saying, who is there among you that is left that saw this house in its former glory, and how do you see it now? Is it not in comparison with that as nothing in your eyes? Now therefore, be strong, Zerubbabel, urgeth Yahweh, and be strong, O Yehoshua, son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, urgeth Yahweh, and work, for I am with you, declareth Yahweh of hosts. And the very thing that I solemnized with you when you came forth out of the land of Egypt, that my spirit abiding in your midst, you should not fear. God, you should not fear. And so that's it. Be strong, be strong, be strong. He's in, be strong, be strong, be strong. He's telling people. So they're like, all right, be ready. Now, what's the issue here? Why is there dissent? Anybody know? The temple they're building is looking nothing like the temple that Solomon built.
Oh, yeah.
Looking nothing like the temple that Solomon built. Completely different. Okay? Completely different. So he's talking to people who saw. You saw the temple before. What's the issue? Be strong. Well, you're building something. My house burned down, and you know, my neighbor drives up and he's got a whole truck full of tin parts, and you're like setting up a little tin shack. You're like going, yeah, it's where my house used to be, but it doesn't look like my house. You know, I'm not comfortable. I'm not happy with this. Well, Yahweh's going to address this. What matter the house seem inferior, he who dwells in it there is not changed. Okay? Is not changed. It was discouraging to them, not to Yahweh. Yahweh's not discouraged by this house. He's telling them to build it. And don't worry about it. Build the house. A discouraging spirit. Staying committed. And I think about that. Boy, what a first line approach for the adversary is to stir up discouragement.
Yeah.
You get discouraged, and guess what it does? Your faith starts to plummet. Mm-hmm. You, golly, I don't even know if I want to do this anymore. And this is what happens, and it's very, very effective. And every person's gone through it where you've been discouraged. Something's going wrong. Let's go to Haggai 2, 6 through 9. Somebody, if they would read for me.
I'll go ahead and read. But thus saith Yahweh of hosts, yet once a little it is, and I am shaking the heavens and the earth, and the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, and the delight of all the nations shall come in, and I will fill this house with glory, saith Yahweh of hosts. Mine is the silver, and mine the gold, declareth Yahweh of hosts. Greater shall be the last glory of this house than the first, saith Yahweh of hosts. And in this place will I give prosperity, declareth Yahweh of hosts.
That's it. And so again, what we're reading here, the shaking. Okay, what's the shaking? Okay, if somebody was to tell you that they're laying all their wealth into something that's worldly, for us, we'd advise them, hey, whoa. Okay, things that rust, things that the moths destroy, it's not going to last. It's not going to last. Well, that's what Yahweh's telling them. Hey, this building you're going to build, it's going to fall. It's going to come down. You know who's going to bring it down? Yahweh. It's going to shake it, and it's going to come down. Okay, if it's not happening now, but what he's saying is the house that will be coming will be even more glorious. Okay, and so not to worry about it. Whose are the utensils?
Yahweh's.
They're Yahweh's. He tells them, it's mine. It's mine. Don't get hung up on those things. This is my stuff. Don't worry about these things. Okay? The great shaking, and this is out of Bollinger's work here, glory in verse 7, referring to the book of Revelation. So there's a couple different shakings they're talking about. There's a masculine and a feminine shaking. The masculine shaking is the big dog. Okay? This is where things are going to get torn apart. It's a bad day. This is the day of Yahweh that we're referring to. Okay? This one, there's going to be other ones, and what he's talking about here is there's going to be other shakings. Now, to me, I'm kind of gleaning that this is what happened when Christ died. Okay, remember the shaking that took place? Okay, that everything, that the rocks broke, the things happened? Okay, that's what I'm guessing this is. I don't know that, but this is not the final shaking that he is referring to right here. Okay, it's not connected to the final. Okay, and that's what he refers to. Moreover, this glory is connected with the final peace. Okay, the second temple was connected with grace, not glory, and was followed by wars and peace. That's the second temple we're referring to. Okay, and so we're seeing where the people are building this, and Yahweh's giving them a little bit of foresight and intelligence about what's going to happen. And, hey, don't worry about these things. This is mine. This belongs to me. All right, will somebody read 10 through 18? This is the long one here.
I will. On the 24th of the ninth month in the second year of Darius came the word of Yahweh to Haggai the prophet, saying, Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, I pray you, ask the priest a direction, saying, If a man carry holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and then toucheth with his skirt bread, or cooked dish, or wine, or oil, or any food, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, No.
Hold on a second here. So what we're talking about is when we're talking about the holy flesh, this is the sacrificial flesh. Okay, which there is, obviously the Levitical law is very strict on how it has to be. Okay, go ahead, I'm sorry.
Verse 13. Then said Haggai, If one who is defiled for a dead person touch any of these, shall it be defiled? And the priest answered and said, It shall be defiled. Then answered Haggai and said, So is the people, and so is the nation before me, declareth Yahweh. And so is every work of their hands. Therefore, whosoever they offer there is defiled. Now, therefore, I pray you, apply your heart from this day and upwards, so long as there had not been laid one stone upon another in the temple of Yahweh. So long were this things thus, that on coming unto a heap of 20, then was found to be 10. On coming into a vat of draw of 50 measures, then were the found to be 20. I smote you with blight, and with mildew, and with hail, and in all the work of your hands, yet ye did not return to me, declares Yahweh. Apply your heart, I pray you, from this day and upwards, from the 24th day of the ninth month, even from the day when was founded the temple of Yahweh. Apply your heart.
Yeah, and it's neat because he tells them, apply your heart, okay? Five times, apply your heart. Apply your heart. Verse 18 starts with, apply your heart, ends with, apply your heart. And he specifically puts in the text the date. Okay, which is awesome. I'm like going, okay, then there's significance to this. Okay, and so that's pretty neat. And so what we're referring to again here is when they're going to get what they thought they would get out of the fat presses, okay, for the oil, and what they thought they were going to get, they didn't even get half of. Okay, and that's because Yahweh was withholding from them because of the wickedness. Was the law known by the priests? Yeah, he gave them a test and they passed it. Yeah, they knew it. Was the law being followed? Was not. And so is every work of their hands, therefore whatsoever they offer is defiled. Okay? So anything that they put before to go through the sacrificial stuff, any of that stuff, was all being rejected by Yahweh because of their wickedness. And that's why I said everything, every work of their hands, every work of their hands. And I think about that, how much that hits, that you're like going, golly, you know, you entertain one sin and you're like going, what does that do? It makes every work of their hands, okay? And so now you try to separate it and compartmentalize it within our own lives, and yet I was like going, doesn't work that way, doesn't work that way, okay? And yet he did not return unto me even after what he had done. And this was years of this taking place. Verse 18 begins with and ends with, apply your heart, okay? And so it's important, the frequency of this, to consider, I think that's what it was, consider was the word that other translations use. Consider, to put it, put thought to it, put it, set your mind to it that this is what you're going to do. I'll read the last part of this, 19 through 23. Is the seed yet in the storehouse? Howbeit, thou... At present, neither the vine nor the fig tree, nor the pomegranate, nor the olive tree have brought forth. So this would be like a farmer, you know, you throw out the seed and it's just dirt. Okay, it's all there is dirt out there. And you look over this vast thing and there's just dirt, but you know there's seed down in there. Now, Everybody else will tell you, what's the saying, you know, bird in the hand is two in the bush equals two in the bush. Well, this is what Yahweh's kind of doing to them here. Going, you don't have right now, but guess what? The promises that I've given to you, what's sown is going to come forth. Okay, so 19 again. Is seed yet in the storehouse? Obviously not. Howbeit though at present, neither the vine nor the fig tree, nor the pomegranate, nor the olive tree hath brought forth. From this very day will I bless you. Verse 20. Then came the word of Yahweh the second time unto Haggai on the 24th of the month, saying, Speak thou unto Zerubbabel, Pashur, governor of Judah, saying, I am shaking the heavens and the earth, and I will overturn the throne of kingdoms, and I will destroy the strength of the kingdom of nations. I will overturn the chariots and them who ride therein, and the horses and their riders shall come down every man by the sword of his brother on that day. And I think about this, how many times I've had discussions with Christians who are like going, how can a group of people go up against a government or against a mighty empire? And I'm like going, well, it's been done many times, okay? And this is what he's saying right here, that who's going to bring them down? Yahweh's going to bring them down. Okay, so yeah, you may be required to stand out there and fight. You've got a pretty good ally on your side. Yeah. Okay, verse 23. On that day, declareth Yahweh of hosts, will I make thee, O Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant, declareth Yahweh. And I will set thee as a signet ring, for thee have I chosen, declareth Yahweh of hosts.
That's
great. Yeah, that's pretty good endorsement. Yeah. Because there's not a lot of places in the Word that a person is called Yahweh, saying that you are a servant of mine, and that I'm going to give you, you will be as a signet ring. Okay? And so, is the seed in the storehouses? But it was sown. A different shaking. Okay, this one here that we're looking at, according to what's his face there? Oh, it's yeah. Thank you. Somebody's paying attention. Throw her a Tootsie Roll. It's a different shaking than in verse 6. I am shaking or about to shake, referring to a near shaking. Okay? And then in verse 23, this is where Yahweh refers to him as my servant. And I will set for these a signet ring. And when you look at that, what's a signet ring represent?
Power.
Yeah, you are the authority. It gives you that authority that you are able to stamp. Okay, that's what a signet ring was for, was to stamp something that this is so saith. Okay, and that was the official stamp. Sown in Babylon because he was of royal seed of Judah, born or seed to Babylon. But this guy here is of the seed royal. Okay? And so, signet ring puts him as a type of Christ. That's what the Bullinger Bible is showing. That it puts it as a type of a Christ because of the signet ring. It gave him different authority, different power. And there's another place, and I did not copy it, but it was referred to him as a type of David. Okay, as a type of a David or David. The line to the promised seed. Now, I grabbed this off of an old teaching because I put this together a long time ago. But here you go, right here. You see this right here? Jochaniah or Jehoiachin, same thing here. Father, here he is right here in the line. Okay, that's him. So he is in the bloodline, the line royale, very obedient and came to give the words that, hey, get this going, and he did, and he was referred to as my servant. So here is the graph that I kind of blew this up, but here we're focusing right in this area right in here, okay? So you have Haggai, which is he's a prophet of Judah. This down here is obviously Judah after captivity, and you see the temple started here, temple resumed. Okay, it shows here 14 years, but Salatim will show 16. And then what takes place in between this, and it shows the overlap of Zechariah. Did not overlap with Malachi, but overlap with Zechariah. Fall of Babylon and the timelines of where things took place. Okay, so obviously this was the return. People were not happy with what they saw, because the temple was not going to be built the same way. It was going to be completely different. Let's flip over to Matthew 27. And this is what I was referring to earlier. Matthew 27, if somebody would read that for me, if I get to it.
I'll read it. And Yahushua again crying out with a loud voice dismissed the Ruach, and lo, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom into two, and the earth was shaken, and the roots and the rocks were rent.
That's it. And so that's it. That things were shaken. This is Yahweh shaking. Okay, so it's kind of neat how the prophecy of that in Haggai is we're seeing part of that right here. And that, don't worry about that, because guess what? The temple does not need to be rebuilt. And so what they thought, now if you're like going, well, where is the temple? Well, it's right here. Amen. Well, I want a building. I want a building to go to. Okay? And so I'm really displeased with that. And you're like going, are you kidding me? You're carrying around the Holy of Holies inside of you. But that's it. And so the people had the wrong mindset. Now, in their defense, I could see that Solomon built a gorgeous temple, beautiful temple. People who saw that, we want to rectify that back to where it was. And it was not going to be that way. It wasn't going to look the same. Last one here, starting off here. You will never know how much it costs my generation to preserve your freedom. I hope you will make good use of it. And I think about that, how that lines in with Christ, where he said that he died for us so that we could live for him. Amen. And to make it worth it. That him dying, we living for him makes it worth it. And that's the same one here with John Adams. Okay, we'll go ahead and I'll have a closing word. Yahweh, we thank you for this day. We thank you for all you've given, for your message and for the blessings that we have for this upcoming week. We just thank you for all that's before us. We thank you for blessing country. We intercede for all men and women in authority and for those righteous ones to be emboldened with your wisdom and having righteous men around them for direction. We thank you for that, for the increase of those righteous individuals. We thank you for that. We thank you for the words you speak and for all that you do for us. And we thank you, Christ, in your name. My sons and daughters, place the alignment before you, knowing that as you are out moving about, that you must be in alignment with my word and not with your desires. And that these things will intersect and cross over from time to time with your desires and my desires. But for you to be steering away from the things of this world or the things of your physical desires and to be grasping to mine and seek out mine. And when you come to a spot, when you come to a point in your road that you are unsure of which one to stop and take a break and come before me and intercede with me, and I will fulfill you. I will give you the wisdom and I will give you the instructions and I will guide you along the way. And it is through faith that I am encouraging you to continue your walk. Amen. Amen. All right.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, Tim.
Great. Oh.